I'd like to read a few more verses from the Bible, from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he who was preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." I'd like us to focus our thoughts this morning very briefly on the wonderful truth that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The testimony of John the Apostle and the testimony of the other apostles was that they saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration with two other disciples, and there, though they had a man before them, Jesus of Nazareth, his deity, something of his glory shone forth from his very being. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. They had a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, this was no ordinary man. This was the God-man. And Christmas is reminding ourselves that the Word, what does the Word mean? The self-revelation of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He's the only begotten of the Father. And the apostles said this, that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Christianity is all about the vertical, but is also about the horizontal. It's not just about the vertical. It is principally about that. It's about you and God. But it's not just about you and God. You see, God became man and he dwelt amongst us. He came to the horizontal plane. He became man. And if we know God and if we love God, then it's also about the horizontal. We love our neighbour as ourselves. Now this morning, I want us to focus upon the vertical. I want us to consider the God-man. Your eyes will be upon presents. Your eyes will be upon your meal. Your eyes will be upon your family. Your eyes may be upon the television. You may be listening to music, but it's good to begin now to look at Jesus Christ. Let's consider the miracle of his incarnation. Let's consider the person of his incarnation. And let's consider who are the benefits of that incarnation. Let's think of the miracle. What does that word mean, incarnation? It means simply this, that God became man. But think of it. The blessed, eternal God, coexistent with the Father, one who has no beginning and one who has no end, one who is infinite in his very being, took upon himself a human body, took upon himself a human nature with all of its weakness, with all of its limitation, a body of dust that returns to the dust. This is a tremendous mystery, isn't it? That the Eternal One should clothe himself with frail humanity and limits himself to time and space. That's a miracle. Nobody can explain it. The virgin birth cannot be explained by human reasoning. But God had prepared a body for his Son. And his Son came in the likeness of human flesh. There was nothing sinful. He wasn't in that sin chain from Adam. This was a virgin birth. A pure sinless body, like that original body of Adam, was prepared for him. He became a real man. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, we read this: "He who was rich for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." And that's the message of Christmas. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven, and he became poor. He became a servant of men. He came into a body that would know many limitations. He would know hunger. He would know thirst. He would know tiredness. He would know exhaustion. He would know pain. He would face temptation. He would go to the horrors of a cross. He became poor that we might become rich, that we might know the blessings of his salvation. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, coming in the form of a servant, in the likeness of men, a bondservant, for our sakes. Now in John's Gospel, we are reminded that Jesus is the agent of creation. Yes, the Father and the Spirit were involved in making this world, but Jesus was the particular agent in creation. We read in John's Gospel, "Without him, nothing was made that was made. Out of nothing, every atom that exists in this world and in this universe was established by the Son of God, and he now sustains this world. He is a mighty God. And yet, he becomes man. The Creator becomes like one of his creatures." And we read that he dwelt amongst us. That word in the Greek is he tabernacled amongst us. We think of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. We think of the children of God, the Israelites, walking through the wilderness, and they had a tabernacle, and all eyes were upon the tabernacle, because there the glory of God was manifested. There God spoke. And now the real tabernacle of God has come. Jesus Christ, he's clothed himself in frail flesh. He's tabernacled amongst us, and there we see the glory of God. This is an awesome miracle. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe in Christianity. If you don't accept the incarnation, you may as well go home. If there's no miracle of the incarnation, there's no God upon this earth. There's no Savior. There's no rescuer. But the wonderful truth is that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Why did he come? Well, he came to reveal the Father. No one has seen God at any time. Moses didn't see God, the Father. Abraham didn't see God, the Father. Nobody has seen the eternal, invisible, almighty God at any time. Nobody. But he who is in the bosom of the Father has revealed him. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So he came to reveal God to us. But he came to identify with us in all of our weakness, in all of our vulnerabilities. And he came to redeem our fallen humanity. It's wonderful. He took upon himself frail flesh. But he didn't come in a sort of disguised way, disguising himself. He was really God, but he puts on this disguise of a human body. No, he came to take that human body forever and to glorify that human body. It would die upon a cross, but it would be raised in glory, the same body. And those who believe in him, one day their bodies will be glorified also. And they will have a body like his glorious body. Those who believe in him, their souls have been saved. But one day, when Jesus comes again, when there's the great resurrection from the dead of all people, those who believe in him shall receive a body like the Lord Jesus. He is still the man Christ Jesus. He never shed his body. There's a man in heaven, one who loves us, one who prays for us, and one who identifies with us. So that's the miracle of the incarnation. But let's think of this, the person of the incarnation. He is the only begotten of the Father, eternally proceeding from the Father. God has no other son. He has a one and only son who is not lesser than him, but is equal with him. And this one is full of grace and full of truth. Now, what does that mean? Full of grace means this is good news for sinners. What about the grace of forgiveness? How did the law of God come? How did the Ten Commandments come? The law came through Moses. What do the Ten Commandments do to you and do to me? The Ten Commandments condemn us. The Ten Commandments tell us how perfect God is and how sinful we are. The law came through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And there is one who can forgive you, though you may stand condemned before God. Though the law of God condemns you, you may be acquitted of all your sin. You may be found guiltless in the presence of God, justified in the presence of God, because you have believed in Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful grace of forgiveness. All of your sins may be forgiven. Isaiah says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. Isn't that tremendous? You may feel that you've done so much and thought so much and been so much that God would never accept you. You feel dirty in the sight of God, but you may be as white as snow, like wool, because of Jesus. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace has all the more abounded. You may feel that sin has abounded in your life. There's things that you're so ashamed of, you would never want a relative to know about. But there's grace to cover all of your sin. You see, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there's a reservoir of grace. A reservoir of grace. Jesus is full of grace, full of grace. You know, there's not only the grace of forgiveness, which is immense, but there's more. He not only forgives, but he gives life to your dead soul. And he makes you alive. Becoming a Christian isn't just having your sins forgiven. Becoming a Christian is knowing the life of God in your heart, in your soul. You're given a new heart. Your old, stony, rebellious heart, your heart of flesh, is taken from you, and you're given a new heart. And you're given life, life that comes from Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 4, in him was life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not only does he give eternal life as a sort of quantity, I'm talking about that. Yes, he gives that. But he gives abundant life to your soul. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And you can know that for the first time this Christmas time. If you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you confess your sins, you may know that life also. And not only that, he not only gives the grace of forgiveness, not only does he give the grace of life, he's full of grace. He gives keeping grace. Grace that will keep you until you go to heaven. If God enters your life, he will never let you go. You'll be kept in the palm of his hands. You'll be secure. He will keep you to the end. What grace is this? He is full of grace. There are many people who are lonely. There are many people who are bereaved. There are many people who are struggling. Jesus is full of grace. He's experienced everything that we have experienced. He's known what it is to be totally abandoned on the cross. All his friends are gone. But he was abandoned by his Father as his Father turned away. In your abandonment, as our sins were placed upon him and as he was punished in our place, he understands pain. He understands every human experience. And he's able to sympathize. And he's able to come alongside and he's able to comfort all who trust in him. Those who are riddled with guilt. Those who find Christmas Day actually accentuates their sense of guilt. They're out of the normal routine. They're out of the normal pattern of life. And somehow their thoughts go in different directions. And they think about themselves. And they feel guilty. But Christmas Day can be a day where you know the joy of God's forgiveness. And whatever you're going through, the Bible says that if you're a Christian, you may come confidently to the throne of grace. Because there's one to help in time of need. You see, Jesus is full of grace, but he's also full of truth. You ever disappointed in others, in politicians, in friends, in family? It's been some sort of deceit, some trickery, some deception. You actually disappointed with yourself that you're not as true as you would want to be. But you know, there is somebody whose every word can be trusted, whose every promise relied upon. Everything that he says is true. Every word that proceeds from his mouth is utter truth. And he himself is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the very word of the Father. He is the very revelation of God. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. You see, he is God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want to know what is truth? Pilate asked that question, didn't he? Pilate said, well, what is truth? Many people are asking that question today. What is truth? How can I know what is true? Jesus is true. Muhammad's not true. Buddha's not true. There's only one who's come from heaven, and he is truth. In a world of corruption, in a world of lies, in a world of deceit, remember there is one who is true that can be relied upon. And so lastly and briefly, we've thought of the miracle of the incarnation. We've thought of the person of the incarnation. But let's think of who are those who are the beneficiaries of the incarnation. Who receives the benefit of what Christ has done? Well, look at this. It says in verse 16 of John 1, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Who's the we? It says all of his fullness, of this great fullness that is found in Jesus Christ, we have all received, and grace for grace, wave upon wave upon wave upon wave of grace. Who is the we? John is writing to believers. Those who believe in Jesus. It's by faith that you're saved from your sin. It's not by good works. It's not by being better than others. Nobody can do that. That's just sheer pride, isn't it? Christianity isn't about do-gooders. Yes, out of love for Jesus, of course we do good. But not to gain our salvation. Through faith in Jesus, we receive all the fullness of God. We have an elder brother. Some of the children maybe wish that they'd had an elder brother, only had sisters. Maybe somebody wishes that they just had one perfect friend in life, and they were looking for that friend and never found that friend. But Jesus took upon himself frail humanity to be our elder brother. And out of his fullness, we receive grace upon grace. May that be your experience this Christmas time. May you be a beneficiary of the incarnation. May that be so. Amen.